Hey everybody, it's James Lindsay. You're listening to another episode of New Discourses Bullets, where I give a short bullet point-like summary of a single topic from woke Marxism that you need to understand so we can defeat it. And I'm going to borrow a line today from a friend of mine who I've been working with a little bit, and her name is Julie Beeling. She is the author of a book titled Beneath Sheep's Clothing that is now being made into a documentary featuring me. So you'll want to check out probably early this summer when it comes out, the documentary Beneath Sheep's Clothing. But I'm going to quote from her book just one sentence and give you an idea of a very important idea to do with Marxism. And that is, as she phrased it, communism always marries a truth to a lie. And there's really not a better way that I've found to describe kind of the way that they do their activism. Or their argumentation, really, is that they mix truth and lie together. They don't just lie. Well, sometimes they do, but usually they don't just lie. And they don't tell the truth. They give you a little bit of both at the same time. So what that means is that communism operates by giving you the lie that it wants to deliver, which is probably an operational lie, wrapped up in just enough truth so that you'll believe it. This would be like trying to give a pill to a dog. This is a good way to think about it. If you try to give a pill to a dog, a lot of dogs won't take their pills, and so you might wrap it up in some cheese or a hot dog. So what communism is doing is taking a poisoned pill and wrapping it up in some cheese or whatever to feed it to society. It's marrying a truth and a lie. And what's very important to be able to defeat woke Marxism, or Marxism more generally, is to be able to start to discern the truth and the lie within that combined statement, and to be able to pull them apart and to show the truth, explain that they've given a partial truth that's being used to mislead, and then expose the lie. So you have to pull the truth and the lie apart and show both pieces to people so they can understand how they're being deceived, because otherwise, the way that it works is they'll hear the truth part, they'll hear the lie part, and they will follow the lie because the truth is true. So they'll say, well, and if you fight back or you argue back, they'll say, well, are you denying this true part? This, of course, is related to that concept that we've talked about many times before, which is the Mott and Bailey, where there's a very defensible position, which is called the Mott, and a very activist position, which is called the Bailey. They want to spend as much time in the Bailey as possible. But if you press them, if you argue with them, they retreat to the Mott. They say something like that, we just want to, and it's always phrased that way, we just want to protect LGBTQ kids or whatever it happens to be, where it's very obvious that what they want to do is widespread activism on all kids in line with queer theory or something like that. So that's a Mott and a Bailey. And so when you say, I don't really want you doing queer theory with my children, they'll say you're attacking LGBTQ people. Because they're going to say, we just want to help LGBTQ people. We just want to encourage empathy. And why are you against that? And put you back on your heels. And that's the idea of mixing a truth and a lie. So I'm going to give you a lot of examples, or work through a handful of examples. And what I want to do is, and never before, I don't think, have I ever before in the podcast given you homework? I'm going to give you homework. And the homework that I'm going to give you is that I want you to think of more examples. I want you to practice thinking up examples of a communist truth married to a lie. Communism always marries a truth to a lie. When you get good at seeing this, you will see the truth and the lie mixed together, and you'll be able to start pulling them apart and explaining what's going on to people, which breaks the spell, or as I've phrased it in other episodes of the podcast, that gets rid of the mystification. It clarifies the issue. It brings distinction and clarity and discernment back to the table so that you don't get caught up in the misleading state that is caused by mixing truth and lie together. So here's kind of the classic historical one. The people are suffering, and communism can liberate them from their suffering. So the truth is, where the communists have had power to create this problem, or where it's already a society that's not doing too well, the truth is that the people might be suffering. If you think of the peasant situation in Russia or in China before their communist revolutions in 1917 and 1949, respectively, the peasants were not having a great go of things. The people were suffering. And along came the communists promising bread and land, saying that the communists can liberate them from their suffering, which is caused by the capitalist bourgeoisie, blah, blah, blah. So what you have is a truth the people are suffering, and then they marry that to the lie that communism can liberate them. And many of the times that you see this married truth and lie, that's actually how it works. They say something true in order to deliver an actionable belief that's not true. The people are suffering. People look around, they say, the people are suffering. It's true. And they say, communism can liberate them, or only communism can liberate them. That's a lie. Communism can't liberate anybody. Communism is a totalitarian nightmare. But people who are hooked by the truth at the front might follow the lie at the back. Here's another one. This is a very important one to discuss. You said something that offended me, so you are a racist. This is CRT standard. You said something that offended me, you're a racist. Or you're a homophobe, or a sexist, or a transphobe, or a bigot, or a hater, or a denier, or a what, conspiracy theorist, or a whatever. They've got 100 names for people they don't like. But here's the truth and lie. And this one's a little more complicated because this one is subjective. You said something that offended me, you're a racist. Let's stick with just the race issue. We'll not complicate this. So here's the thing. Let's say that I said something and somebody else heard it and they claimed that I offended them. Maybe I did and maybe I didn't. Maybe they subjectively took offense and maybe they're just claiming that they did. It's actually pretty complicated. But the problem is because their taking offense is a subjective state. They're taking offense as a subjective state. There's no place that I can say, no, you weren't offended, and have anything to stand on. In fact, I start looking like a jerk very quickly, denying their lived experience or whatever it happens to be. And they've got like cascades of rhetorical tools, thought-terminating cliches, and so on to Darvo to manipulate these circumstances when they come up. So we have to take it. When somebody announces that they are offended, we have to take it as probably true that they were offended. That, let's say that they were offended based off something race, that they interpreted what you said in a racist way. That's probably true. They interpreted what you said in a racist way. And even if they're grifting or lying, we don't have any ground to stand on to deny their subjective interpretation of what you said. That offended me. It was racist. But you are a racist, as a conclusion, is a lie. It's not necessarily true. Me saying something that offends somebody else does not necessarily generate the conclusion that I am a racist or hold intolerant views or am discriminatory or any other thing like that. So that's a very important example, because critical race theory can be summarized as calling everything you want to control racist until you control it. And so if they can leverage this idea that you did a racism through, well, you said something and I took offense, then they can conclude or convince, this is more important, they can convince a watching audience that you did a racism, or they can convince you and you start to feel bad and you give in to them that you did a racism. So they are either controlling you directly or controlling you through a watching audience or controlling a watching audience to go ahead and control you. So you offended somebody, therefore you are a racist, is not logically sound. That may not actually follow. People say offensive things all the time. Here's a great example from the primary literature. Derald Wing Sue is credited with being the kind of popularizer of the concept of microaggressions. Microaggressions actually were developed in 1970, believe it or not, by a psychiatrist named Chester Pierce, who happened to work on the MKUltra project. I will let you look up Chester Pierce for yourself and find out what all he was involved with. But Derald Wing Sue wrote a book in the, I think, 2000s, maybe early 2010s, talking about the concept, I'm wanting to say 2008 or 9, but I'm guessing a little bit, popularizing the concept of microaggressions. And the story Derald Wing Sue says, to make this point, is that he and another person were on a plane, and they had to move passengers around to do a weight redistribution so the plane could take off safely or land safely later. And Derald Wing Sue and another person of color, Derald Wing Sue being Asian, were asked to move because their seats needed to be freed up, and they were the ones who needed to move to balance the weight of the aircraft. Because it was him and another racial minority, Derald Wing Sue concluded that they had done a racism. And he said, you did a racism, and the stewardess was confused and said, no, I didn't, you just sit in those seats. And he said, I perceived it as a racism, therefore it is a racism, and therefore the airline and you are racist. And this is not a valid conclusion, but is a very common marriage of a truth to a lie that you'll hear. Here's another one. Diversity is a strength. Maybe that's true. There are certain reasons to think that there are, that under certain circumstances certainly is true. Diversity is a strength, so you need to admit counter-hegemonic people and perspectives into your institution. Now, I know I used a big word there. I really got to find a better way to put that. You need to admit people who are against the American value system. You need to bring in anti-capitalists. You need to bring in anti-racists. You need to bring in feminists. You need to bring in activists because diversity is a strength. Well, that's not true. The truth is, let's suppose that diversity is a strength, or at least in whatever context, and we're in that relevant context, that it is a strength. The conclusion that you need to bring in activists is not true. That is marrying a truth to a lie. And that's exactly what they do. Counter-hegemonic means that there's a prevailing cultural value system that has a force that perpetuates itself. That's called cultural hegemony. And so there are people who are against the society perpetuating itself or the institution keeping its same values. Those are called counter-hegemonic forces or people or influences or activism or perspectives. And so the whole diversity, equity, and inclusion DEI industry is built around the idea of diversity is our strength, therefore you have to bring in activists. Supposing that diversity is a strength in the first place, and that's true under certain contexts, the lie is that bringing in counter-hegemonic activists is a strength is unambiguously false. All that causes is political disruption, disagreement, and problems. I'll speed up a little bit. I think I have a gender identity other than my sex. Maybe they're trans, maybe they're non-binary, whatever. So you need to affirm me. Well, it may actually be a truth. They're marrying a truth to a lie. It may actually be true that they think they have a gender identity that doesn't match their sex. It is not true that you need to affirm them in that. A truth married to a lie. That's a leverage. Here's a related example. Trans people have a higher rate of suicide than average. So if you don't affirm them, you're risking their lives. That's another truth. Trans people, for whatever set of reasons, do have a higher rate of suicide than average. But denying them so-called gender-affirming care does not seem to be part of the explanation for that. So telling people that you have to affirm trans or they'll commit suicide not only is emotional blackmail, not only is planting the idea that that's the way you should respond and not being affirmed to the people going through this, but it's also just not a logically sound conclusion. It is a lie attached to the truth that trans people who have a high comorbidity with other mental disturbances and mental health issues have a higher rate of suicide than average. You disagree with queer activism, so you must hate LGBTQ people. I get this one all the time. I'm accused of anti-LGBTQ hate all the time. I have a Southern Poverty Law Center entry about me. It's on my Wikipedia. It's all over the place. It gets leveraged every time I try to do a talk on a college campus or in any state that tips to the blue. Because I disagree with queer activism, which is a very specific thing, which I've talked about at length. You disagree with queer activism, so you must hate LGBTQ people. Of course, I also get these variants of this. You disagree with feminism, so you hate women. You disagree with Christian nationalism, so you hate Christians. This is the same truth married to a lie over and over and over again. You disagree with Black Lives Matter, so you hate black people. Same exact truth married to a lie. And in fact, on that point, here's another one. Black lives do indeed matter. That is true. Black lives actually do matter, therefore you need to support and bend the knee to a Marxist organization by the name Black Lives Matter. That's a lie. You do not have to support a Marxist organization, bend the knee, do what they tell you, give money to it. None of that was required. That was all a lie. They leveraged the concept of Black Lives Mattering, true, and married it to a lie. You must support all of this radical activism that's ultimately Marxist. Turns out, truth married to a lie is the standard. Here's another one. There are inequities in life. That means there are differences in outcomes, sometimes by group averages. Therefore, there must be discrimination. Or, even more insidiously, if you don't think there's discrimination, you must be admitting that there's racism, or that you're a racist, or that you're something homophobic, transphobic, or whatever. This is another truth. There are inequities. Sometimes group averages. In fact, we could say within the racial domain that there are differences in group averages. What's the explanation for that? Well, what they give you are two options. Either there's discrimination, so we need more equity programming, or you're saying there's something wrong with black people. That is the Ibram Kendi shuffle. Those are your only two options. As though there's something intrinsically wrong with black people is a necessary conclusion when there are other variables, especially when we're talking about averages and not individuals, that are likely to be in play. Quality of neighborhood, stability of family, two parents in the home, lots of other variables that we're all very familiar with, cultural values. These are all very relevant things that can explain why there are inequities without having to resort to it's either discrimination is happening that we need to correct, or you must have racist assumptions about the people themselves. It's manipulation off of group averages. And that is the entire equity hustle right there. There are inequities, therefore we need equity programming. We need to redistribute shares in order to make people more equal. Actually, to make members of groups more equal across group to group, which is a terrible way to deal with any such problem. Here's another one. There's a dangerous virus out there, so we need to shut down all of society until enough people do what they're told. As it turns out, there was some kind of virus out there. It seems to have been dangerous. That's a truth, but it's a lie to conclude that we have to shut down Earth until enough people do what they're told, at which point, apparently, we're allowed to reopen. Relatedly, here's another one. Truth. Not everyone has got their shots yet. The lie. So the virus keeps spreading, and we have to keep society closed, and it's all the fault of the people who didn't get their shots. Another example, so let's switch to education. The kids can't read. So the school needs more money for these various SEL and other educational programs. Well, look at the data. They don't want you to look at the data, of course. The kids can't read. That's true. They don't want you to know that data. And it turns out the more money you throw at this problem, the worse the outcomes get. It doesn't seem to be that more programs, and especially more things focused on social and emotional aspects of education, are helping this problem. So the truth is the kids can't read, but the lie is so the school needs more money. There's an operational lie for various programs that they're putting out. Here's another one that ties right in. It's like a precursor to this one. The kids have all these mental health issues that we're not addressing, and that's why they can't read. There's two lies from that one, by the way. That's why we need SEL, or that's why they can't read. They have mental health issues. That's why they can't read. So we need SEL. And SEL will help them get their emotional issues under control, and then they'll learn to read. Except that's not what's actually happening. Everywhere this is being implemented, it gets worse and worse. Now, I think you should probably have the idea by this point, which is far long enough for this podcast, that it's not hard to come up with examples. It's not hard to spot examples once you are aware of the general formula of marrying a truth to a lie. So your homework is to go out into the world and find where they're marrying truths to lies. Write it down. What's the truth? What's the lie? Make a table. Spend some time practicing identifying the lie attached to a truth. Then you expose the lie and say that it's being launched with the truth. That's the formula. That's how you can conquer this extremely foundational tactic in communist manipulation.